Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever had a friend turn against you? That's not easy to take, is it, when that happens? Well, this happened one time to David, King David of Israel. He had a friend by the name of Ahithophel. And this Ahithophel was a good friend of David, and David was a good friend to Ahithophel. In fact, and you can read of that here in the psalm already, he considered him a man my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. And then he says as well, we took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Verses 13 and 14. Now, this man was David's closest advisor and counselor. You could say even that he was King David's national advisor. So he is high up in government as well. But there was more to this than just a professional type of relationship. It was also what I want to call a familial type of relationship, as if they were of the same family. They ate together at one table, and it was more than that yet. It even was a spiritual kind of fellowship as well. They even went to the house of God together in the throngs who worship God. And David, at a certain point, then called the relationship that he had with Ahithophel a covenant relationship. They had bonded together, and you've heard from the previous messages, a covenant. You are bonded together with oaths and with promises. But something went dreadfully wrong in that relationship between David and Ahithophel. Ahithophel turned against David. He engaged in conspiracy, he engaged in rebellion against David, and he actually aligned himself with David's son, that is, Absalom. You can read of this in 2 Samuel chapter 15, 16, and 17. Ahithophel, therefore, became Absalom's counselor instead of David's counselor, and he gave Absalom some very wicked advice which would bring great shame, or could bring great shame, on King David. But I'll spare you the details about that. It is obvious that this caused David great grief, and in our text, David then also laments this fact that Ahithophel had turned against him. He has broken his covenant. He has broken his covenant. Now, with this narrative as our background for this morning, I want to carry on in this series, small series on covenant theology, and pose the question as follows. Can the covenant that God made with us, can it be broken? Well, the answer is yes. It's possible from our side to break with the covenant. And I want to speak about that in more detail. And I base this not only on what we have read here in Psalm 55 in verse 20, because, well, you could easily argue that, well, this was a covenant between two human beings, and therefore it's not the same as a covenant between God. Well, in a certain sense, you're right, but there's something in it that we can learn from it. Because I not only base my arguments on Psalm 55, verse 20, but also on at least two other texts. Now, there's a number of texts, but I'm going to quote two other texts as well that speak of it. And the first one is Isaiah 24, verse 5. And there we hear God speaking. The earth also is defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. So there is that possibility of breaking the everlasting covenant. And then another text, Jeremiah 11, verse 10. And again, there God speaks, they have turned back to the iniquities of their fathers who refused to hear my words, and they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. So again, Israel actually broke with the covenant that God made with him. Well then, let us go back then to the very words of our text. He has broken his covenant. And I want to consider these words by the following theme and subheadings. David laments a broken covenant. In the first place, the possibility of breaking the covenant. Secondly, some examples of breaking the covenant. Thirdly, God's lament of breaking the covenant. And fourthly, our warning against breaking the covenant. So I first want to consider with you then the possibility of breaking the covenant. Now, congregation, indeed, there is that possibility of breaking the covenant. It was so in Old Testament times. It became true also for New Testament times. And it is true for you and me today. That possibility is there. That possibility is there. Well, you might ask, well, how so? How so? Well, and perhaps you will continue to argue, how so? If God has made a covenant with us and bonded with us, how can we break it? If God has entered into a covenant relationship with us, are we not saved then? And if saved, aren't we then always saved? Well, let me give you an answer in short form, and then I'll explain the answer as we go on. Yes, it is possible from our side to break with the covenant relationship with God. And no, being in a covenant relationship does not necessarily mean that you are saved. So yes, we can break with the covenant, and no, being in the covenant does not necessarily mean that you are saved. You see, a covenant relationship is much like a marriage relationship. And I've mentioned that before in one of the other sermons as well. In fact, God often compared his relationship with Israel to a marriage relationship. In Jeremiah 3, verse 14, for instance, the Lord God says to Israel, "Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you." Now, I also want to quote one of my brother pastors, Pastor Schultz. He wrote an excellent article a number of years ago about this issue as well. And I quote, "The Old Testament is very graphic in its description of the relationship between the Lord and his people. It often speaks of it as the union between a man and his wife. Words as betrothal, marriage, unfaithful, harlot, and similar expressions are used to describe various aspects of this relationship in which Israel is personified as a bride who is often unfaithful." And so in that way, he described the covenant relationship. Good words from Pastor Schultz. Well, now, when you enter into a relationship, there are what I want to call promises and stipulations. From one side, there are the promises, and I speak then of a marriage relationship. On the one side, there are promises of love, of protection, and of faithfulness. From the other side, there are the stipulations of love in return, of trust, and of faithfulness. And you who are married, you know about these things. And you who hope soon to be married, you should take those things very seriously. You see, when a couple gets married, the husband promises to never forsake his wife, to love her faithfully, and to maintain her. You can read of that in the form in the back of your Psalter. Same time, the wife also promises that she will be obedient to her husband, she will serve her husband in love and assist him, and will never forsake him. And so what you hear in these words are promises and stipulations. However, when there is no love from one side, when there is no trust, when there is no obedience and no serving, there is definitely something drastically wrong with that sort of relationship, isn't there? And if there happens to be outright unfaithfulness, then there is what we call a breakage in the relationship. The relationship is broken. In a similar way, we must see God's covenant relationship with you and with me, dear people. By way of the Word of God, God has engaged us with great promises. Promises of love, of protection, of faithfulness, even with the promise of wonderful inheritance, eternal life. But now from our side, God calls us to love Him, to trust in Him, to be faithful to Him, to obey Him, to serve Him, and never to forsake Him. That's our promise in the covenant to God. And one of the great stipulations that God has set for us in order that we may enjoy full covenant relationship with Him is that stipulation of faith. Faith in Him. And in His covenant transactions with us, God promises that He will be faithful to us, and He stipulates, therefore, that we be faithful to Him. Now, it stands to reason, therefore, that if you have no faith in God, if you have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but live totally for yourselves, there is something drastically wrong with the relationship, with that covenant relationship that you have with God. And if you engage actually in outright unfaithfulness to Him, you are actually in the process of breaking with the covenant. Breaking with the covenant. Then you might say, and you might excuse yourself and say, well, you know, hey, I'm a covenant member here in this church. I've been baptized. I've received the sign and the seal of the covenant. And so everything is okay. But then you are misusing covenant language. You're misusing covenant language. In Psalm 50, and we've sung about that as well, in Psalm 50, verse 16, we read, "But the wicked God says, to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth?" You see, if you don't live according to the covenant terms that God has set for you, and you think that everything is okay, and say it as well, you are misusing God's covenant words. You are taking His covenant words in your mouth in a wrong way. You might then feel very confident to say that you're a saved person based on covenant membership. But if your covenant membership does not lead you to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in the process of breaking the covenant. John Calvin, he also had something to say about that as follows. God's covenant promises to you must be ratified by faith in you. In other words, they must become connected to God through faith. They must be ratified by faith in you. And so, the question is it possible to break the covenant? Yes, it is possible. In fact, it can be stated even more strongly yet. Without faith in Jesus Christ, you will be breaking off from God's covenant relationship without faith in Him. The Apostle Paul, he writes in Romans chapter 11 about God's covenant people, Israel, who had become unfaithful to God. They were unwilling to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did God do with them? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 11, like branches of an olive tree, they were broken off, cut off, and cast away. And then he says in verse 20 of Romans 11, well said, because of unbelief they were broken off. And therefore, boasting about a covenant relationship without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear people, will get a very, very stern rebuke from God. What right have you to declare my statutes? What right have you to take my covenant words in your mouth? The Bible therefore clearly teaches that there is that possibility of breaking the covenant, as lamentable as it sounds to you and to me. Now, to bring this home to us, I would like to give you some examples of breaking the covenant in the second place. God once attached himself by covenant bonds to Old Testament people who clearly proved that they were not saved. There was once a young man by the name of Ishmael, a son of Abraham. He had received the sign and the seal of the covenant by the ritual of circumcision, which is the equivalent of the ritual of baptism in the New Testament. But he was cut off from God's people. He was not saved, you see. And Paul speaks of him in Galatians chapter 4 as being born of the flesh, opposite of the promise, in fact, being in bondage. He had no faith in the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's Ishmael, one example. Another example is Absalom, the son of King David. He was raised by God-fearing parents. He, like all other boys in the nation of Israel, received the sign and the seal of the covenant, namely circumcision. But his life proved that he was not saved. He was a very proud young man, proud especially of his good looks, proud of his power and of his influence, and proud of his prestige as a son of the king. He even made a statue to himself to declare how great he considered himself. That's how proud he was of himself. But he lived a wicked, immoral, and deceitful life, even to the point of making attempts at his father's life. He had no faith whatsoever in the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this caused David one time to make a real sad lament. And that was so tragic upon the news that he heard that Absalom was killed. Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son. You can read of that, 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. Here again was a covenant member who broke with the covenant and he died unsaved. Let me now give you two examples from the New Testament. The first one is Judas Iscariot. And what covenant fellowship did he not enjoy? For 3 years he walked and talked with the Lord Jesus Christ. For 3 years he had been preached to by the best preacher in the world and was eyewitness to some awesome events. Of him it could be said, as it is written later on in Hebrews 6, that he tasted the heavenly gift, has become partaker of the Holy Spirit, has tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. That was the privilege that Judas Iscariot enjoyed. But what did he do? The boys and girls know. He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, handed him over to be crucified. And of him the Lord Jesus could also have said, could have lamented the same words as David lamented, that he has put forth his hand against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. And the tragedy of it all, and that should be brought home to us as well, that Judas despaired of the broken relationship and as a consequence committed suicide. That's the one example from the New Testament. The other example from the New Testament who also broke covenant is Paul's missionary companion by the name of Demas. Demas. At one time, a gospel preacher traveled along with Paul as a missionary, covenant member of the church, but he had no faith approved. He had no faith in Jesus Christ because he forsook Paul and he forsook the ministry. And so we hear Paul lament to his son spiritual son Timothy, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. The fellowship of the world was a greater attraction to Demas than a covenant relationship with God, and so he broke with it. He fell in love with the world. Now, I believe those four examples, two from the Old Testament and two from the New Testament, are proof enough, I believe, that covenant membership is one thing, and it is a precious thing, covenant membership, but that salvation is yet another thing, far more precious. And so, dear people, do not equate covenant membership with salvation. Some people do say that. I am a covenant member, and therefore I will go to heaven. You cannot make that sort of equation at all. Not at all. If there is no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are unfaithful in your relationship with God, and you are breaking the covenant. Now, another question is, how does God feel about this? Well, we know from our text how David felt about it, how badly he felt about Ahithophel turning against him and breaking the covenant. But how does God feel about us breaking the covenant? Let's consider that in the third place, God's lament for breaking the covenant. Now, you and I, we need to understand that God desires a covenant relationship with each and every one of us. God desires that. And he has given visible signs and seals to confirm this as well. Circumcision in the Old Testament and baptism in the New Testament, just to prove already to our eyes that he, God, is sincere. He has given his word of promise as well by way of the gospel, so that we not only see it with our eyes, but we can hear it with our ears, and that the term covenant is, as it were, splashed all over scriptures. You may remember yet from one of the other sermons that Old and New Testament, the word testament actually means covenant. And so you could easily say about your Bible, I've got the old covenant and I've got the new covenant here in my hands, the Bible. So we could say that the covenant is splashed all over Scripture. And that means that God desires a relationship, a covenant relationship with you and with me. That's God's desire. He takes pleasure in this. But the greatest proof of God desiring a covenant relationship with us has to be, and it has to be seen in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Because God the Father made his Son, Jesus Christ, a sacrifice for us, whose blood which he shed is called what? It's called the blood of the, you're right, the covenant. The blood of the covenant. Well then, in the Old Testament times, prophecies, we hear God lament the brokenness of this covenant. Isaiah 33:8, he has broken the covenant. And then in Ezekiel 44, verse 7, they broke my covenant because of all their abominations. Now, it is no different in New Testament times. The Lord Jesus wanted a warm, sincere covenant relationship with the people of Israel and of Jerusalem in particular. But they broke with it. They broke with it. And so we hear the Lord Jesus lament. You know those well-known words, Luke 13, verse 34. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophet and stones those who are sent to her. How often would I have wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. You wanted not. You didn't want it. You were not willing. You see, when there is the breaking of a covenant, of the covenant relationship with God particularly, you can count on it that it is man who has done the breaking. Not God, but man. Man causes the breakup, not God. And we need to understand that clearly. Because God remains faithful to his covenant promises, but man as stubborn as he can be, refuses the stipulations that God has set out for him, that is faith and obedience, and will not turn to God in faith and obedience. That constitutes the breaking of the covenant. God desires a covenant relationship and has made all the provisions of it necessary so that the provisions of the covenant could be made and had and continued. And those provisions are in the blood of Jesus Christ. What has man done? Man has set it aside. Even, as we are told in Hebrews 10, even trample on the blood of Jesus Christ. Where it says, for instance, counting the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, that means by which he was set apart, a common thing, trampling on the blood of Christ. That is what we do when we break with the covenant. In David's lament, as expressed in our text, we can hear the lament of the Lord God himself. He has put forth his hand against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. God has had thoughts of peace towards man, but man has broken the covenant, and God laments it. Now in the fourth place, our warning, your and my warning, against breaking the covenant. And so here's some application as well for each one of us. Dear people, God has made a covenant with you and with me. And it is called the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace. All of us are under the covenant of grace. God has entered into a covenant relationship with you and me by virtue of being born of believing parents, having been baptized, and for most of us, having been raised in a Christian family. Like a wedding ring on your finger, God has made the water of baptism the sign and seal of your covenant relationship with him. Don't break that precious covenant relationship. Don't go after other gods that are to be heard and seen in this world. No matter how appealing, no matter how attractive, no matter how pleasure-promising they say they are. Because it would be nothing less, dear people, than spiritual adultery that breaks the covenant. Therefore, don't go the way of the world and find your fulfillment in this world of today, because you would be unfaithful to your covenant God. But follow obediently the stipulations that he, God, has set for you, and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you may be forgiven of your sin and have a good relationship with God. Follow obediently those stipulations, dear people, and you will never go wrong. By faith in Jesus Christ, all the promises of the covenant will be fulfilled. And you can list them, a long list, but few ones: love, protection, friendship, faithfulness, inheritance, and so on. Joy in this life and joy to come. All these covenant promises, dear people, are guaranteed to you. Why? Because Jesus Christ has shed his blood for it. And this is why he is sometimes also called the great mediator of the covenant. And so he, Jesus Christ, has bled the blood of the covenant, and he's called the mediator of the covenant. Now perhaps, I hope that's not the case with any of you, but perhaps you have been living on the breaking edge of the covenant already. That means you may have been living for yourself, for your own pleasures, with little or no regard what God has been saying to you. Perhaps you have, since the day of your baptism, never thought very much about serving the Lord at all. But now, this hour, you are reminded of your covenant membership. And it is like a man looking at his wedding band. Brothers, married, do you look at your wedding band once in a while? It reminds you of something, doesn't it? Be faithful. be faithful. And that is what the Lord God wants of us as well. Be faithful. And as the thought shoots through your conscience then as well, how then could I do any great wickedness and sin against God because He has promised everything to me that I need? How could I be unfaithful to Him? How could I break the covenant? I dare not do so. Perhaps there is reason already for you to say, I'm afraid I've been in the process of breaking the covenant. Well, it's time for you to repent of that immediately. Because you have gone after other gods, and God calls that spiritual adultery. And that's breaking the covenant. You've gone, as it says in the Old Testament, you've gone after other lovers in this world. Then God calls you back, even through His covenant mercies. And He calls you back and He says, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And then He cries out to you as well, turn, turn, for why would you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, for each one of us, as we have heard again about the covenant, let your heart be committed to this wonderful, awesome relationship that we may have with God through the mediator of the covenant, Jesus Christ, and through His blood of the covenant. Let us therefore believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us therefore entrust ourselves completely to Him and to Him alone. That means put the whole weight of your relationship on Him, and you can be sure that He will take care of you. He will take care of you. Because you see, that's part of the covenant deal. Part of it. Boys and girls, young people, the Lord has put a ring on your finger. Now you might not be able to see it, but it's there. You can't see it with your physical eyes. That ring is called baptism. And it's really not on your finger, but on your forehead, isn't it? This means that you have a covenant relationship with God. You do. Now, don't let the world mess with your covenant relationship. Your covenant God does not want you to break it, but He wants you to ratify it. You know what that means now? Ratify means to have that connection of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to ratify it through faith. And that's the one stipulation that God has for you. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you may then also know and be assured that you are saved, not only for time, but for eternity. And you know what it means to be saved? Not only negatively, that sin won't be a condemnation to you, but you will be saved for a joyful eternity with the one you may have a wonderful relationship with, covenant relationship, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And therefore, aim for that. That's what God wants of each one of us. Amen.